All right, turn if you would to the book of Philemon. And you got to be careful, otherwise you'll go right by it. It's one page. 1st, 2nd Timothy, Titus, Philemon. Okay? I'm going to read the entire book to you in less than 3 minutes. So, Philemon, I don't have to tell you the first chapter. There's only one. Let me read that, and then we're going to pray and ask God to bless our time together. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved brother and fellow worker, and to Apphia, our sister, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in your house. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always, making mention of you in my prayers, because I hear of your love and of the faith which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints. And I pray that the fellowship of your faith may become effective through the knowledge of every good thing which is in you for Christ's sake. For I've come to have much joy and comfort in your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you, brother. Therefore, though I have enough confidence in Christ to order you to do what is proper, yet for love's sake I rather appeal to you, since I am such a person as Paul, the aged and now also a prisoner of Christ Jesus. I appeal to you for my child Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my imprisonment, who formerly was useless to you, but now is useful both to you and to me. I've sent him back to you in person, that is, sending my very heart, whom I wish to keep with me, so that on your behalf he might minister to me in my imprisonment for the gospel. But without your consent, I did not want to do anything, so that your goodness would not be in effect by compulsion, but of your own free will. For perhaps he was for this reason separated from you for a while, that you would have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. If then you regard me a partner, accept him as you would me. But if he has wronged you in any way or owes you anything, charge that to my account. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will repay it, not to mention to you that you owe to me even your own self as well. Yes, brother, let me benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Having confidence in your obedience, I write to you, since I know that you will do even more than what I say. At the same time, also prepare me a lodging, for I hope through your prayers I will be given to you. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ, greets you, as do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, Luke, and my fellow workers. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Loving Heavenly Father, we're so thankful to have an opportunity today to worship together, to worship you, to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. We're thankful to have this blessing of being together where we can interact with one another. And Father, what a great joy that is for us. I pray that you will minister to us this word, even as we look at the introduction to this marvelous letter to Philemon. We need your spirit to convict our hearts, to open our hearts to you, to help us to see what we need to see. Father, that we have many needs. We come from all kinds of different backgrounds, and here we are before you. Minister to those needs. So, Father, may your spirit move. Help me as I proclaim, the listener and I both, as we respond. In Jesus' name, amen. Came across this article this past week. It's called The Longest Grudge Ever. Man 69 shoots former school bully dead at reunion. August 27, 2019 is when this was written. One man from Thailand waited over 50 years before having his revenge on his childhood bully. It's fair to say at that moment in time, everyone had experienced a bad relationship or fallout, but over time, most of us learned to forgive and move on. But according to global reports, one man from Thailand did the complete opposite, waited over 50 years before allegedly taking out his revenge on his childhood bully. According to the Daily Mail, a 69-year-old pensioner named Thanapat allegedly took his long-running grudge to the extreme by shooting his former tormentor at a school reunion party over the weekend. The man was invited to the event on Saturday afternoon to meet with past classmates from the school in Thailand, and things got out of control from there. There was a fight. He drew a gun and shot the individual that he had a long, long grudge with. One of the glories of heaven is that life will be lived without conflict, without grudges. We live in a world filled with conflict, great and small. Whether that is a full-blown war on the world stage, as we see right now, or a spat between family members or friends, to be human is to live with conflict. There are some people, I believe, that thrive in creating conflict and living in the midst of the drama that it produces. Most, however, do not. As much as we might desire to have nothing to do with it, it's like a spring mosquito. It eventually finds you. This is where it gets sticky, though. What is needed is reconciliation and forgiveness. There are, as you know, 66 books in the Bible. This subject of forgiveness and reconciliation is so important to God, who knows us best, that he devoted an entire book to addressing it. Philemon is a 2 to 3 minute read. It contains 335 Greek words in the original, but it is an absolute gem and so needed in our lives. Now, I want you to know that today I'm going to do the introduction and going to talk about some circumstances, background, and so forth. The next 3 weeks, I'll just be walking you through these verses. It is going to stretch us, but I believe it's going to be a tremendous help. I want to start just with the date. Philemon was written around 61 A.D., same time as Colossians. It was one of Paul's prison epistles, along with Ephesians and Philippians. I believe his imprisonment shaped his mind to the needs and the things he needed to write about. In spite of circumstances that were less than ideal or favorable, God used his pain and his situation to bring about the writing of some tremendous books. That, God using us in the circumstances and brokenness in which we live, I believe it's a timeless truth for us to keep in mind. We minister Christ out of often heartache, personal pain, and at times failure. But listen, don't wait until everything is just right, until you have your dream in line, to allow the power of Christ and the Holy Spirit and the Word of God to use you. Serve where you're at. Serve right now. Be a blessing to others, even in less than ideal circumstances that we often find ourselves in. Now, listen, if we're going to take this book seriously, if we are going to allow the Spirit of God to minister it to us, it'll stretch us. It's going to stretch you. It's going to stretch me. But it is here, and I believe we need to think about it and allow God to use it. If we see what God is calling to do, it is likely to make us a bit uncomfortable. However, let me say this. If we are going to act upon what God is calling us to in this book, I believe it'll give us a greater freedom to live and serve him with a deeper joy and have a better fellowship with those around us. This little book is a gem. It's an absolute gem. I've preached it once. I think I've taught it once or twice. This will be a bit different than I've taught it. How many of you guys remember the last time I went through Philemon? Raise your hand. 1, 2. Okay, the rest of you, 3, 4. No more hands. But so this is needed, and I believe it'll be a great blessing to you. R.C., let me turn this on, it'll help. R.C.H. Linsky writes, Paul's letter meets the case with such perfection that every line becomes precious to those who desire to emulate the apostle's spirit. and the perfect way in which it reaches out toward another's heart. The whole letter is pure gold, every line of it, every line pure gold. So we're going to look at it. We'll look at the date. I've talked on that a bit, the occasion, the author, the recipients, and the theme. The occasion, what this little book is about, is two individuals, Philemon and his runaway slave Onesimus. When Onesimus ran away from Philemon, Onesimus was a lost soul. He did not know Christ. When Philemon is given this letter, his former slave is now a fellow brother in Christ. Quite a contrast. These two men need to be reconciled. If that is to occur, forgiveness must happen. Now, I want you to note God's call on every believer, in this issue of forgiveness. Ephesians 4:32, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ has also forgiven you. That's God's call on our life. I'll get into the detail and outworking of that in the following messages, but I'm just going to plant this in your heart today. This is God's call for me, it's God's call for you to be that Christian who readily forgives. Colossians 3:13, bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. We work and forgive from that position, that God has forgiven us fully. We have offended greatly, and yet he's extended his forgiveness to us. And because we've been free from the penalty of our sin, we are to forgive others. So these two individuals, that's what this book is about. We may look at reconciliation and forgiveness as optional. God does not. We have these personal relationships as brothers and sisters. In those personal relationships, there will be conflicts. If I ask any of you to raise your hand to the question, have you ever had conflict with another believer, every one of you would have to raise your hand. It's part of living in a fallen world on this side of heaven. You can't, it's like that spring mosquito, it'll find you. You can't live without it. It's just part of life. So relationships in the body of Christ, if they're going to be growing and becoming more precious as they should, we will have to do the hard things at times. We're going to have to admit when we've failed. We're going to have to extend forgiveness to others and at times ask for forgiveness. We'll have to seek reconciliation, allow the Spirit of God to judge our hearts, our words, and our actions, and then respond in a Christ-like manner. I think you're aware of this, but our lives are defined by our walk with Christ. It is so important. Our walk with him, it will define the relationships that we have and how we conduct ourselves in those relationships. Again, conflict is inevitable. How we deal with it is not. Philemon is a book that reaches into some of the most sensitive and painful aspects of our lives. And yet God has it here, and he wants to do a work in us. I'm praying that God is going to use this thing powerfully in every one of our lives and every one of our families, every one of our relationships. You know, for Philemon, when we think of Philemon and Onesimus, this seemingly distant personal conflict, it's just those two, but it goes way beyond them. It would impact the church that they worshiped in, that met in Philemon's house. It would impact Philemon's future, his testimony to his wife, to his family, to his fellow believers. It would impact Onesimus and the entirety of his life, his relationships, and his world. It would touch everyone he would meet and interact with. This is really, really, really important. Although these two men, you know, we may think, what's the big deal? It's only two guys. When two believers have conflict, we need to remember that it's a big deal. And conflict, if it's not dealt with rightly, will have a ripple effect on so many over so many years. I was in my office, just before I got to my office this morning, had a call. And the call was about, not anybody around here, but the call was about a church that's having conflict and not dealing with that conflict and how it's impacting everyone around them. So all the more reason to acknowledge that we need what God has for us in this word because of how it impacts ourselves and others. I started with a story of a man who held a grudge. That grudge shaped that man. He didn't need to hold that grudge. And so here we are in the middle of life, right? And it comes at us. I need to ask myself this question, though, at this time. And I want you to ask yourself this question. Am I going to allow his word to be the determining factor in how I respond to the issues in life, how I respond to this situation, any situation I find myself in where there's conflict, where I need to own my own sin, and if others have sinned against me, where I need to forgive them? Well, let's look at the author here. Philemon 1:1. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Apphia and our sister, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, the church in your house. Here's the author, Paul. Paul, he is in prison. And again, we might say, well, that's a weird way to start a letter. You're signing your name first. That's how they did it in the first century. They didn't put it at the end. It's a given that Paul is the author. It's really not argue. He meant argued. He mentions Timothy as well. Timothy would have seen and known what Paul wrote. He has his amen in support of what Paul has sent in this letter. The fact that he is writing, the Spirit of God has led him to do so, says a lot about the heart of God and his desire for reconciliation and forgiveness to be practiced among his people. That's God's desire for us, is that we're reconciled, first of all, to him through faith in Jesus Christ, and then to others as needed. God has initiated this reconciliation of himself to of ourselves to him by sending his son on a rescue mission. That's the heart of God. Paul was such a man. Paul was a man that needed this reconciliation with God, and he found it. God reached down to him and gloriously saved him from the penalty of his sin. I'm sure that Paul's dramatic life change, this new life in Christ, conversion, influenced by grace and concern for others, caused him to write an amazing book. Now, in this case, we have a runaway slave who God preordained would end up together with Paul and would have heard this, his story, and Philemon would have heard Paul's as well. At some point, the gospel message broke through this man who had a death sentence on his head. Onesimus had a death sentence on his head. A runaway slave in the first century would be executed or could be executed by his owner for running away and stealing from his master. So you have the author there, a man who's been touched deeply by the gospel of Jesus Christ. The recipients there in verse 2 talks about to Apphia, our sister, Archippus, our fellow soldier, the church in your home. So there they are. I mean, that's to Philemon. I don't see that in, not sure that verse is right. What do your Bibles say? Something different. In the first verse, it's to Philemon. It mentions it's to him, and then it goes further in verse 2, others that are mentioned as well. Apphia, our sister, Archippus, our fellow soldier, to the church in your house. There's a church in Philemon's home. And so it's addressed to Philemon. He is he's a fellow worker, someone who comes alongside Paul. Where did Philemon work alongside Paul? It was most likely in Ephesus. But Philemon lived in Colossae, and that's where the church met in his home. As such, he most likely would have been a wealthy man. Colossae was a place Paul actually never visited, though he wrote a letter to it. And so most likely, Paul had personally met Philemon in Ephesus. Now, Philemon is referred to as a beloved brother. Beloved in Christ is especially, it means especially loved or deeply loved. This reference is of those in Christ as beloved has become very precious to me. It's reserved only for those in a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. It means to be especially loved of God. While it is true that God loves the world, those in Christ are loved in a special way by having entered into a righteous relationship through faith in Jesus Christ. God the Father used the word in Matthew 3:17, speaking of his Son, his beloved Son. Paul uses beloved 33 times in his writings, twice here in Philemon. The writer of Hebrews, Peter, James, Jude, and John all use this word referring to those in Christ. If you're in Christ, you're beloved. You're beloved of the Lord. Tremendous Bible teacher, some of you have heard him, J. Vernon McGee. He ends his radio broadcast almost every time with these words, "May God richly bless you, my beloved." He may say beloved, I'm not sure. But I love that note. He's acknowledging where a believer is before God and how they're to be looked at. There are 11 people in this little book, 11 people mentioned by name in this little book. I don't know if you caught that when I read that. Again, I read it in less than 3 minutes. 11 people in these 25 verses. There's Apphia and Archippus. In verse 2, verse 10, we have Onesimus. Verse 23, Epaphras. By the way, verse 1, you have Paul, Timothy, and Philemon. Verse 24, Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke. What this reminds us of is life is lived in relationship to others. You know, it may be that we would dream of being that out in the middle of the woods somewhere in the UP, just my cabin, my camp, and I, but that's not really how life is lived. It's lived with others in relationship. At times we have conflict, we are always challenged to love and be gracious. But life's about relationships. God wants us to have hearts that are tender toward others, full of grace and forgiveness, owning our own wrongdoings. The Apostle Paul shined in this area of life. Not that he never had conflict. If you read his life, if you read him in the scriptures, you'll see he did. But it was how he worked through it that allowed him to function with freedom and joy. All right, the theme here. The theme here, Christian forgiveness. The theme is Christian forgiveness. That's how Warren Wiersbe sees it. I would go a little broader. Here's what I believe it is. Christians are to be consistent in the practice and pursuit of forgiveness and reconciliation. I'm going to run around that. That's how I see this theme here. But at the heart of God is love and subsequently forgiveness for those who have sinned against him. That's the heart of God. And I want to finish this sermon this morning. I want to finish just allowing you to see. I want you to see the heart of God. His grace, his love toward us. Exodus is where I want to go first. There it is, Exodus 34, 6 through 7. Then the Lord passed by in front of him and proclaimed, this is to Moses, the Lord God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness and truth, who keeps loving kindness for thousands and forgives transgression and sin. That's the heart of God. He loves and he forgives. Psalm 32:1, familiar, I think, to many of you. How blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. And all God's people can say amen, right? Amen. Look at verse 5 here. I acknowledge my sin to you, and my iniquity I did not hide. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. That's God. That's his heart toward us. Psalm 65:3, iniquities prevail against me. As for our transgressions, you forgive them. Brother, sister, we have no hope. We have no life without this truth, that God loves and he graciously forgives. Isaiah 43:25, there's a ton of these we could look at. I, even I, am the one who wipes out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. That's our God. That's our God. He's full of grace. He's full of forgiveness. Acts 10:43. Of him all the prophets bear witness that through his name, that is Jesus Christ, everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins. God loves. He gave his son that we may turn to his son in faith and experience the forgiveness that we need. All of us have offended a holy God. And yet here's God in his grace, and he forgives. He freely and fully forgives. God desires that we're reconciled to him through faith in Jesus Christ. And then we are forgiven, but we must recognize that we have a great need. We're desperate. We've missed the mark. We're sinners, all of us. And that sin has separated us from God. And God in his grace extends to you and I something we're desperate for. That is forgiveness of sins. And when we come to faith in Christ, when we trust Christ as Savior, that forgiveness is ours. And we say, praise his name. Ephesians 1:7 is one of my favorite New Testament verses. In him, the context is about Jesus Christ. In him, we have what? Redemption. We've been bought back with a price. That was on the cross through his blood. The forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. Grace is undeserved, unmerited favor that he offers to you and I. Salvation is a gift. We reach out by faith and take it. When we do, in that moment in time, we're gloriously released from the penalty of our sin. We're forgiven according to the riches of his grace. Colossians 2:13, when you were dead in your transgressions, and the uncircumcision of your flesh. And that's what sin brings us. Separation, we're dead, and no spiritual life. He made you alive together with him, having forgiven us all our transgressions. That, if you're in Christ, is a position that you hold today. You serve a God who's gracious and kind to forgive. Again, if God wouldn't forgive, how many of you can live perfectly holy all the time? None of you can. I cannot. If we did not have forgiveness, we'd have no hope. But God's desire is that none perish, but all come to repentance. So he made the move. He sent his son to redeem us. And by faith in Christ, we're reconciled to him. It's out of that that God calls us to live life. He calls us to forgive. He calls us to be reconciled. God's love to us is ridiculous, marvelous, and miraculous. In loving us, he releases us from the penalty of our sin when we trust Christ as Savior. If you've never trusted Christ as Savior, you stand before him condemned. Your sin condemns you. But God offers you life. He offers you forgiveness. You can simply put your faith in Christ, call on the name of the Lord, you'll be saved. If you're a believer, he calls you to forgive. Why? Because it is for your good. It is for the good of those you're involved in. It enhances your joy and fellowship and will bring relief to your soul. God desires of you and I that we forgive and pursue reconciliation. That's what he desires. Friends, life is too short to hold grudges and bitterness and anger toward others. It's too short for that. I'm going to ask you something this morning. I don't want an answer now. But I'm just going to ask this. I want to leave you with this question. Will you commit to considering forgiveness and reconciliation where it's needed. Will you commit to that? Because you're going to be challenged in the next 3 weeks. This book, we can just read it and kind of pass by it, but it drives deep. Because all of us have experienced conflict. All of us have sinned against others. All of us have been sinned against. It's how we deal with it that'll make the difference of what life looks like for you and I. And it impacts the body. It really does. So many churches today fractured, blown up, because things have not been handled biblically when it comes to forgiveness, when it comes to extending grace, when it comes to owning our own faults. The same is true of many, many families. I see a lot of it. And it's, again, life is too short. God desires that we forgive and pursue reconciliation. I know that as I speak this to you guys, it is, and it's going to touch each of you. And we're going to leave the Spirit of God to move in our hearts to where this needs to occur and what it needs to look like. We'll get into that more in depth. If you're here today and never trusted Christ, today's the day. We'd love to hear that, hey, you know what? I recognize something today. I've offended a holy God, and He's offered me forgiveness and grace. Brothers and sisters, let's commit to consider where God would have us as we move through this book and the actions that we need to take, whatever they are. Let's pray. Loving Father, we thank You for this word. It's hard-hitting. It's challenging. It's difficult. All of us stand before You broken and in a broken world where we've sinned and we've had others sin against us. Some of these have created great wounds and are difficult. Perhaps some of them are even being held on to. And there's this bitterness that has developed in our heart and is shaping how we look at You and others and what our life is and what our life isn't. I pray that in these next few weeks that we would desire to give You freedom from Your word, and that Your Spirit would take that word and allow it to examine our hearts, to challenge our hearts, that we might move forward in a way that's honoring to You. Father, I pray that this local assembly will be known as those who are gracious and kind and loving and forgiving and continually seek reconciliation where needed. We would give You the praise. Bless Your people. In Christ's name, amen. You're dismissed.